We began a series a couple of weeks ago called A Prescription for Life, and I told you we were going to go through the Gospel of Luke between now and Easter, and we're progressing our way through. There's a lot of material there to cover, and we're just hitting some of the highlights of it. Not that anything in between what we're covering is not significant. Matter of fact, on Wednesday nights, once the fireside devotions have ceased in a couple of weeks in our Bible study, we'll be looking at some of these passages in between to fill in the gaps of what we haven't had an opportunity to cover on Sunday morning. But a couple of weeks ago, our first message in the series was called First Things First. And we looked at Jesus in the temple teaching as a 12-year-old boy and telling his mother, "Don't you know I need to be about my father's business?" And I gave you a biblical thinking point, and we called it biblical thinking point number one, and it was God's desires should be our desires. And that's true in our life. Last week, we were talking about dealing with temptation. And I gave you biblical thinking point number two, and that was opposition to God's revelation is a dangerous temptation. How Jesus himself was tempted, and the amazing thing about the temptation that we saw last week is the fact that it was a temptation that maybe if it was in our life, we may not even saw it as a temptation or recognize it as a temptation and not see it as a threat to our faith. But yet it would have been a compromise, and how Jesus remained firm, and he remained firm because of God's word to allow him from entering into that temptation to begin with, to yielding to that temptation or giving in to the temptation that he was facing. Today we're moving to chapter 5 in a message called Called to Serve. I've stated it many times over the past several years that God has not called us to sit. He's called us to serve. That's what he wants us to do. We're not just simply to come here and be spectators of all that God is doing, a relationship of any kind. It's not a spectator sport, but it's a participatory sport or event. That is, we are to participate in the events that are going on. And when we come to know Christ as our Savior, it's the same thing. We are to participate in his activity. He wants to be a part. He wants the church. He wants us as his church to be a part of what he's doing. And that's why we need to understand the Word of God. I'll give you your biblical thinking point a little later in the message, but it sums it up very nicely about how it is that we're called to serve. In chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke is given a recap of how four ordinary fishermen are called to the most extraordinary task in the world. And the amazing thing about it is that God has called us as well, ordinary people, to be about the same extraordinary business. Let's look at the text. Chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 11. I gave Brandy the wrong information on the bulletin. It stops actually at verse 11. So let's take a look at this if we can. Chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch.'" Verse 5 says, "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And so they signaled to the partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' And he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to serve you. And Lord, help us to understand some elements of service to you in this message this morning. Thank you for your word, and we ask you to bless the reading of it. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Three ways to break down this text this morning would go something like this. If we're going to think about our service to God, if God has truly called us to serve, as we see these first disciples called of Jesus Christ, then we need to keep these things in our mind. The first thing is that to consider is the means in which we serve is anywhere and any way. That the means in which we serve is anywhere and any way. When I say anywhere, let's look at the first three verses. And it was, as it was, the multitude pressed about him. They stood to hear the word of God. They stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and the two boats were there, but the fishermen were gone. He got Simon, which is Simon Peter, to allow him to stand in the boat so that he could preach to the crowd, so he wouldn't be so entangled with the crowds, but so he could stand apart from them and be able to be seen and be able to be heard as they teach. I don't know if you've ever been around water or not, but that's like a natural amphitheater in a way, because the sound reflects off the water. It'd be a good environment for this preaching to take place. Up to this point now, we've saw Jesus' temptation as recorded by Luke in Luke chapter 4 last week. Since then, we can look back and see, well, the Lord is in the temple teaching. He reads the prophet of Isaiah. We made reference to that actually 2 weeks ago when we were in that text, saying that the scriptures are now being fulfilled in their hearing. Right there is Jesus, the one that's going to come and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, we see the casting out of demons and the healing of Peter's mother-in-law recorded as well. And I always like to stress out that these two have nothing in common with one another. Casting out demons and healing a mother-in-law has nothing to do with each other at all. But nonetheless, but he's drawing a crowd around him. He's teaching as one that has authority. And people are wanting to hear what he's saying. And he comes down and he comes to this scene that we find in Luke chapter 5. And he goes out into the boat. And it demonstrates what I'm talking about. The means in which we are to serve is anywhere. Anywhere there's an opportunity that the Lord provides. There's sometimes we think that we can't share God's love unless we're in church. Why don't you come to church with me sometime and let me show you how much God loves you. Why not show them how much God, allow them to see how much God loves them right where they are. We, for years, went on a mission trips up in the mountains to Cherokee. And one of my favorite things about Cherokee mission trips, and those that have been on it, it will probably be fond of these memories as well, I guess. But we would always go on 8:30 on Sunday morning to Yogi Bear Campground. Remember that one? And we was out in a pavilion that's right there by this old gravel road that's right there by the big old wide river as it's coming down the mountain, and the big rocks are piled up all over the river. And we get to stand out there under that pavilion, and we get to sing praises to the Lord. We'd carry the guitar, and Dean carried his guitar out there one time and played music. And I got to preach right there in the middle of God's creation, not in a church, but it doesn't matter where you are. You can share God's love anywhere. I've got this great idea, and I don't know when I'd ever be able to do it. I'm a little busy on Sunday mornings. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I've got this idea down. You know, there's a lot of us like to go to White Lake on occasion, and I can just imagine getting a pontoon boat on a Sunday morning and anchoring right in the middle and announce it with flyers all over the lake. We're going to have a worship service out on the lake, and we can have our own Redneck Yacht Club right there in the middle of White Lake, and the boats can come together, they can anchor down and tie together, and we could have a little choir on that pontoon boat, and we could sing and we could preach right there anywhere. We can proclaim God's love anywhere. The means in which we serve is anywhere. Something I've wanted to do, but I haven't had the guts to do it yet because I'm a shy person. I'm going to be at a gas station sometime and see somebody that's maybe elderly at a pump next to me, or maybe somebody with small children in the car, and just ask the lady as she's pumping, or the man, or whoever it is, do you mind if I just pump your gas for you? I'd love to do that, but I'm scared they're going to think I'm trying to hijack them or something. I don't know what it is. But just offer an act of kindness, you know, not pay for it or anything. They've already done their card and all that, but just pump their gas for them and help them out. Share the love of Christ anywhere. We can do that. The means by which we serve God is anywhere and in any way. Look at verse 4 and 5. And when they had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." But Simon said, "Master, we've been here all night, but nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it." Now, they are experienced fishermen. Even though Jesus was the one that made the fish, they are experienced fishermen, and they've been fishing all night, and they caught nothing. And let me assure you, they know how to fish. They do this for a living. We don't need to instruct them how it is that they can catch fish. They've had a bad night. If you've ever been fishing, you've had bad nights before. You've gone out and not caught anything. Because I've seen the bumper stickers, a bad day fishing is better than a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. Is that what it is? Okay. So some of you can identify that. Do I have an amen from Bill back there on that one? Probably so. Okay. All right. But nonetheless, they know what they're doing, but yet Jesus tells them to launch out into the deep. Normally, when we think about launching out into the deep, the first thing to come to our minds would be, this is a call to the unknown, but this is not unknown to them. They're fishermen. He says to draw down your nets for a catch. He doesn't say, why don't you go out there and try and see what you can do. He says, go out there, drop down the nets, and you're going to catch something. I can hear Peter now. Normally, this is how it would go. I don't know how you healed my mother-in-law, Jesus, but I do know how to fish, and I don't need you to tell me how to fish. But it says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. Here's the problem. We're so sure in our expertise that we maybe would have never gone back out into the deep. We're so confident in our own abilities and what we've tried in the past that just because we've tried it and it didn't work, even if the Lord himself told us to go back and do it again, we wouldn't do it because we'd say, Lord, I've tried that. It just don't work. Have you got another plan for me? You say, oh, sure I would. If the Lord told me to go do something, I'd do it. But we have the opportunity more often than you think. Don't tell me that you've never had a time in your life that you've thought you knew better than God. Because we all have. A time when God's word said, all right, this is how you need to do it. But yet this other way looked a lot better, a lot simpler, maybe a lot less painful, a lot less expensive, or whatever it may be. That God gives you a clear direction in his word, but you just don't like that direction, so you decide to go in the other route. And if you take that other route, you're telling God, well, Lord, I think I know better than you do. When I say that we can serve God in any way, I don't mean just any old way we want to. When I'm saying that, I mean we can serve him in any way that he leads. God may send you out into the deep to let down your nets. And so doing, God is saying, I want you to trust me. And you must have such a faith in God that you're willing to say, okay, Lord, whatever you say, doesn't matter that I've tried it before. Nevertheless, I like that word there. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. The means in which we serve God is anywhere in any way. Secondly, I wanted to point out the fruit from which we serve God is abundance and awesomeness. The fruit from which we serve God, what we receive, what we experience, what we get a taste of ourselves, the fruit from which we serve is abundance and awesomeness. Well, speaking of abundance, look at verse 6 and 7. It says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and the net was breaking. And so they signaled to the partners on the other boat, come and help them. And when they came, they filled both of the boats. What a haul of fish here. So much so that the boats began to sink. They caught so much fish that their nets were breaking and the boat was sinking. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew is with them. He's one of the four fishermen that are called here, and his name's not found in the book of Luke, but you can read it in the Gospel of Matthew and get the fuller picture of that. But Simon Peter and Andrew are out there, and they've got all these nets, and they're trying to drag them in, and they can't get them all in because there's so many fish in them. And they say, maybe they get a few in the boat, and maybe they see, we got more fish than this. We're going to need some help. James, John, come over here. Bring your boat over here and help us bring in this load of fish. I bet that was an exciting time. I get excited when I just find the worm before I go fishing. Me and my brother used to go fishing down by Richardson Creek and Monroe. We wouldn't count the fish. We would just count the worms we could find because we would do it the old-fashioned way. We'd dig for the worms first. Mom would say, what did you catch? I said, we got three worms. To be honest with you, though, I don't like to handle the fish. I didn't like handling the worms either. But nonetheless, what would happen had they not followed the Lord's command and went back out into the deep. If they were so sure that they knew the right way to do whatever it is they needed to do, if they was that positive of their own expertise and their own abilities and all that they learned in their whole life. Now, these are experienced fishermen. Nothing like me in Richardson Creek, I promise you. But what would have happened had they not followed the Lord's command? This would have never happened. Do you ever wonder what you're missing out on by not following the Lord's command? You ever wonder what you're missing out on by not having the kind of faith that Peter demonstrated in his statement of faith here when he said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. What are you missing out on? Well, what have I missed out on? Because it just didn't seem reasonable when the Lord was directing me in a certain way. And I said, Lord, you know, that really doesn't make sense. I don't think that's right. Let's do this. This would work much better. How much have we missed out on in our Christian journey because of that? It's really, we're trying to be, I guess, conservative with our faith, and we will make sure our faith is tried and true, but we're not willing to get out there in the deep where God's calling us to go. He says, go out in the deep and let down your nets, but because you've tried it before, it doesn't mean it's not going to work the next time the Lord guides you in that direction if it's His will. I've heard it said many times that we miss out on the fruit because we're not willing to go out on the limb. And it's out on the limb is where the fruit is. So we need to have the kind of faith in God to launch out into the deep. We need to have the kind of faith in God to get out on a limb for Jesus, to go where the fruit is, to where we can only trust in Him. Because that's where the abundance is. The fruit from which we serve is abundance. He wants to bless us abundantly. He offers us abundant life, even now in this world, not just for eternity, but beginning now, He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. And if we're missing out on the abundance, I'm just asking you this morning, are you striving for the fruit that God desires in your life? Is your faith to where you need Him to produce that fruit? Or are you comfortable with just simply trying to gain the fruit that your own abilities can bring forth? I'm telling you, there's a lot more awaiting each and every one of us. The fruit from which we serve is abundance, but it's also, even better than that, it's awesomeness. I like that word. Awesomeness. Verse 8, then Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. We're in a key portion of this text now. We're to our biblical thinking point number 3, and here it is. Only when we realize who He is do we know who we are. Only when we realize who He is do we know who we are. Oh, we think we got a good idea. We think we're comfortable. We think we're educated. We think we've got it all figured out. But when we truly see God for who He is, it's a really humbling experience, as Simon Peter is mentioning here. He's already expressed faith in Him. He said, at your word, I'll let down my nets. I've seen what you've done with my mother-in-law. I've seen what you do casting out demons. You've proven yourself to me thus far. And I think I can put my faith in you. But then when this happens and he actually sees the abundance that comes from trusting in God, he realizes he's standing in the presence of God. And he says to Him, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. He recognizes the mass span between God and mankind. Oh, I often wonder about the ones who say they give their life to the Lord, and in that they say, I'm going to be God's number one worker. The kingdom of God is going to be so advanced because of me. And I'll be God's favorite. That's not a humbling thought. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Who in the Bible do you see that when they come face to face with God, even the demons, when they come face to face with God, in a sense we see them bowing down their faces before a holy God. Isaiah, his comments in his book about coming face to face with God. Woe is me, for I'm a man with unclean lips. Do you see the awesomeness of God? When was the last time you fell on your face before a holy God? This morning we sang, "Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty forever," and all this stuff. Whatever the words are, I can't remember right now. We were talking about dreams with some folks this past week, and it reminded me of a dream that I had the day that I announced my calling to the ministry to my church. It was a Wednesday night that I went forward and let the church know I felt called into the ministry. And that night I woke up in the middle of the night. You remember the dream, church? I told some of you before. I woke up in the middle of the night shouting. I shouted myself awake from my dream because I dreamed I was in the presence of God, and it was so overwhelming. I could feel it like water filling up a glass. I could feel it coming up my body until it just burst out, and I started shouting, and then the shouting woke me up from my dream. It was an amazing thing. I'm not much of a shouter, am I, Tanya? I do fall more into the category of the frozen chosen instead of the happy clappies. I will admit it. I want people to have the freedom to happy clap if they want to, but I'm more of the frozen chosen. You can clap. I'm jangling my keys on my pocket like this. That's what I do. But folks, when I sensed the presence of God in that dream, it woke me up from my sleep. It just bursted out of me. Oh, and I can't help but think that a lot of you guys that are like me probably ain't shouted at nothing but your electric bill. One of these days, you're going to be shouting in the presence of God. Oh, that song we've rehearsed at the choir practice, just wait till he stands up. Oh, we're going to see some different attitudes of all of us when we're in the presence of God. That's the awesomeness of God. Isn't that wonderful? And that's real. That's not something that's stirred up. That's not something that's conceived and contrived or stimulated in some other kind of way. It's the presence of God that does it. And it humbles us to see that. It's genuine. It's not hypocrisy. John Stott says this in his book, Between Two Worlds. It says, "Nothing is more nauseating to contemporary youth than hypocrisy." In other words, something that's fake. People don't want to see fake. But there's nothing more attractive than sincerity. And when you're in the presence of God, that is a very sincere moment. And that's what people need to see in your relationship with Jesus. They need to see sincerity. The fruit from which we serve is abundance and awesomeness. But finally, the result from which we serve is adjustment and alignment. You say, wait a minute, they're the same thing. Not quite. Let's look at verse 9 to 10. "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken." They were astonished. Jesus said, going out there, you're going to get a catch, but they were amazed at how abundantly God supplied in the situation. They were astonished. I came up with my own definition of faith when I was preparing this message. Faith is never ceasing to be amazed, but expecting it. That don't make sense, does it? But nonetheless, it's never ceasing to be amazed. We stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. But yet we can expect it. If God's word says it, we can count on it. Nevertheless, at your word, we shouldn't be surprised. But yet we could still be astonished by what God has done. God changed their life. He changed them from being fishers of fish to become fishers of men. The funny thing is, after his resurrection and all that, we see him sitting around trying to decide what should we do next. We've done all this, and Jesus has risen. And one of them says, "Well, let's go fishing." They go back to the same thing that they were doing before. But yet God wants an adjustment in their life, just as God wants an adjustment in your life. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, he wants an adjustment in your life. Their encounter caused an adjustment. But not only that, it also caused an alignment. Verse 11, "When they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." You see the difference? You can adjust your own life. You can say, "I'm going to get my life straight." We just talked about New Year's resolutions and how we can make these adjustments in our life. And I need to get this stuff straightened out. But there's a difference in adjusting your life and in aligning your life with the will of God and the Word of God. In this case, what they did, they forsook all that they had and they followed him. They even left their boats, they left their nets, they left their fish, and followed Jesus. In faith, in the faith outline there's a presentation of the gospel, F-A-I-T-H, forgiveness, and it's available, it's impossible, and turn, and heaven, and all that. But there's also another acronym for faith that says, forsaking all, I trust him. And that's a part of the faith training that we did here at the church several years ago. But it's a good principle to know now. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's faith. And this is how God calls everyone to serve him. Remember the rich young ruler? He was asking Jesus, how is it that I can inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, well, you know the commandments. He said, yeah, I know the commandments. Been doing them since I've been a boy. Well, that's great then. Just sell all you got, give it to the poor, and you'll be fine. But he went away saddened because he had great wealth. It's not that God wants us to give him everything that we have or is going to send us to leave out of Morrisville and send us to Tanzania or send us to Asia or wherever the Lord may send missionaries. But the point is, if God did tell us to do that, we'd have to be willing to do what he tells us to do. And do you have that willingness? And that means forsake it. That means if God calls me out of here to there, I'm going to do it. If God calls money out of my checking account to go here, I'm going to do it. If God calls me to use my car in this way to help somebody else, I'm going to do it. Any way that God can call you to use your resources, if you're saying, I'm going to hold on to them myself instead of trusting in God, then it's a problem. But to forsake all today and to follow him means anything you've got is his. Use it for whatever he can use it for whatever he desires. Is that the kind of attitude? Is that the kind of alignment that you have in your faith with God? Is God calling you to launch out into the deep? Why? Because that's where the fish are. And there's people that need to hear the gospel. And he's calling this church to reach out into the deep around us and be fishers of men. Jesus says, let down your net. In other words, trust in him. It may not be reasonable, or may not seem reasonable, but are you going to defy reason, or are you going to defy God? If you want to see the abundance of God, the awesomeness of God, then you have to get out there where all you can do is trust him and his word. And again, Simon Peter put it this way, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to serve. Lord, everyone in here today, they're here because they love you. Because if they didn't love you, there's a lot of other things they could have done this morning. Mostly stay home in the warm and out of the slippery streets or sidewalks or whatever they were afraid they might encounter. And Lord, but these are here this morning. They were willing to come. And Lord, I pray that demonstrates a sincerity in their life. Not that those that aren't here are not sincere. They're being careful. And Lord, that's all right. Unless there are some that's not here because they're just simply looking for an excuse not to come today. But Lord, nonetheless, we are all here today, and we are called to serve. Lord, maybe there's some here today that's never accepted Christ as their Savior, and they need to accept Christ as their Savior so they can be a servant of the Lord. And maybe today, this wintry day in January, is the day that they're going to come to know Christ as their Savior. But for those that are here, the means by which we serve is anywhere in any way. Is that the attitude that we have? Are we willing to look for every opportunity to serve? The fruit from which we serve is abundance and awesomeness. Or we want to experience that for our lives. Well, then the result from serving is that adjustment and alignment. We've got to not only adjust our life to you, but align ourselves in your will. And that's found in your word for us. Well, Lord, I pray that everyone here has a desire to see abundant fruit in their life. And to see the awesomeness of God. And Lord, I just pray that everyone here can put themselves in such a place in their spiritual walk where they have to trust you, because that's where the greatest fruit is. Not leaning on their own understanding, not leaning on their own abilities, but going where only you can take them. And Lord, there's a church, that this church will go where only you can take it. There's a lot of fish out there, referring to men, referring to lost people that need to know Christ. Are we going to be fishers of fish, or are we going to be fishers of men? As a church, that decision is made by every individual heart and mind that's in here today. With the ones that are here today, pray, Lord, make me a fisher of men. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you